Thank you. I'm going to call this meeting of the Orange County Parks Commission to order. Today is May 4th, 2023. It appears that we have a quorum. Would you care to call roll, please?
Yes.
Chair Schauber, Vice Chair Ashland.
Here.
Commissioner Diaz.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen. Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Weigand.
Here.
We have quorum.
We have quorum. Good. This is the first time I've gotten to chair a meeting in years. I was given a script. Okay. Public participation. This is the time when everybody gets to speak, if they wish, about items that are not on the agenda. As we get to agenda items, you'll be given an opportunity to speak if you wish. If anybody would like to speak, they may do so now. Don't all raise your hands at once. Okay, that's it for me.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask a order question? Do we do a pledge in these meetings? I always do my city council meetings. I don't know if we do. It doesn't show it on the agenda, so I just...
What's okay. Interesting?
Okay. Can I deal with that?
Yes, go ahead.
Nice question.
I'm so used to starting meetings with them that I
am too. Okay, I was surprised it wasn't on the agenda. And once upon a time, there was another member here who's no longer on this commission who decided he wanted to say a prayer as well. Somehow that went to the wayside. But if you'd like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, Commissioner, I'd appreciate it.
Please rise. Please join me as we salute our nation's flag. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
This doesn't mean we're going to follow this script. Consent discussion, consent calendar. The following items are on the calendar will be approved in one motion unless a commissioner requests to have an item pulled. I think everybody should have a copy of the meetings of the last April. March?
Yes.
I'm comfortable with them and you want to make a motion?
You'd like to make a motion? Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. You have to abstain, I believe.
He does not have to abstain.
He does not? When did they change?
It's just the rule now, at least. And so you do not have to be at the meeting.
Vote on whatever you don't know. All in favor?
Because what can happen is actually something could never pass based on the fact that there might not be enough members who were at previous meeting if new people all come in.
That's by design.
So anyhow, that's the rule.
Okay.
I will abstain, though.
We have the vote.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Got it. Okay, moving on.
This does not pass.
Do something wrong?
It does, because we have the new
Freedom
bylaws.
Yep. That's correct.
Yes.
Sorry, fun stuff.
Yes. Bylaws.
Moving on.
Bylaws.
Yes, yes, new bylaws.
Okay, let's move to the discussion items. The first item on this evening's agenda is the NCCP conservation plan presentation. Turn it over to staff.
That is perfect. So tonight we wanted to bring a presentation on the National Natural Community Conservation Plan and Habitat Conservation Plan. to enable you to be able to better understand what are some of the limitations and a good portion of the land that the Park Service sees. And so I'm going to turn this over to Jennifer Nagley. She is our natural resources manager and really understands all of this so much more than anyone else here, probably, except maybe a couple people that might be in the audience. And so let me turn it over to you.
Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for having me this evening. As Pam said, my name is Jennifer Nagley, and I'll be providing a brief overview of the NCCP HCP, which is the largest of three major conservation plans that overlay several OC Parks facilities. We'll start with defining the NCCP HCP and breaking down the acronym. Then we will take a look out for a moment and consider the amount of OC Parks lands that are included in the three major conservation plans and easements before we focus back in just on this largest plan. We'll review what OC Parks facilities are included in the plan and then finish with how the plan affects management and operations of these parks. Before we get into it, two quick items of note. First, as Pam alluded to, we do have two NCCP HCP experts in attendance with us this evening in the audience. I would like to introduce Jim Solentich and Darren Lowry. Both gentlemen are with the Natural Communities Coalition, or NCC. And the Natural Communities Coalition is the nonprofit organization that administers and coordinates this conservation plan. Jim serves as executive director and Darren as the outreach and engagement coordinator for NCC. The second item of note is that this is intended to be a very high level overview of a pretty complicated plan with a lot of moving parts. And even keeping it high level, I'll still be sharing a lot of information in a pretty short period of time. So at the end of this, if you just come away with a general understanding of what the NCCP HCP is and how it affects OC Parks, then that's perfect. And Jim, Darren, myself, and the rest of OC Parks staff are all here to answer any questions should you have any at the end of the presentation. All right, with that, what is the NCCP HCP? I'll offer two really fundamental definitions with a little more detail, and then we'll break down the formula of the plan. The first definition, the NCCP HCP is a plan intended to protect and enhance conservation values at a regional scale, while also allowing compatible land use, such as passive recreation. The second definition, the NCCP HCP is a 75-year permit between wildlife agencies on one side and multiple permittees on the other, including the County of Orange. Some of the other permittees are some of the utilities, like some water districts and SCE. California State Parks has Crystal Cove included. The cities of Newport Beach and Irvine have some of their open spaces included, etc. So each of these permittees has a different agreement with the wildlife agencies, and all of these agreements are laid out in the plan. We'll just be focusing on the county's agreement with the agencies. And a quick note, I say county because it was not OC Parks or OC Waste and Recycling or OC Public Works that signed on to this permit, but it was the county as a whole. So what did we agree to?
Can I ask a quick question,
please? Absolutely.
You separate wildlife agencies and permittees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what is a wildlife agency? And what is a permittee?
So essentially, a given permit is an agreement between different entities. So on the one side, the wildlife agencies in this case are the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, which is a state agency,
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a federal agency. The permittees are folks that signed onto this plan, and actually I'll get to this in just a moment because
okay,
I think
fine.
It'll be clearer as I detail it. So first, what we agreed to, the county as a permittee, we agreed to provide ongoing GIS services to support the plan. We agreed to enroll a certain number of acres in the plan and we then agreed to manage those acres according to the plan. In exchange for us, we received streamlined permitting for major public infrastructure. So that's things like the roadways, flood channels, and landfills. The county also received about 400 additional acres of habitat take. What that means is that once the permit initiated, the county could impact 396 additional acres of habitat without needing to pay additional monies or pull additional permits, because all of those impacts are already accounted for as part of the plan. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, you did pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Please feel free to ask for more specifics when we get to the end, and I'll try to get closer if I didn't. So with this, let's look at the full title of the plan. It's a long one, but it does contain a lot of good information in it. The full name is the County of Orange Central and Coastal Subregion Natural Community Conservation Plan and Habitat Conservation Plan. So we'll come back to the geography portion of the title, but just focusing in on that Natural Community Conservation Plan and Habitat Conservation Plan, it can be confusing because it does say plan twice in the name, and natural community and habitat can mean about the same thing. So coming back to that response, Natural Community Conservation Plan means that it's a state permit with California Department of Fish and Wildlife, whereas Habitat Conservation Plan, or HCP, means it's that federal permit with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. All right, we're going to zoom out for a minute and consider those three major conservation plans and easements I mentioned earlier and the amount of parks lands that are included. The various hash marks are indicating those three major plans and easements and the overlap with OC Parks, and OC Parks lands is highlighted in the green there. So many of us have heard that OC Parks manages about 60,000 acres. The actual number is about 56,000 acres, and of that, over 46,000 acres are included in one of these three major conservation plans or easements. That equates to about 82% of all OC Parks managed lands. And while we're only going into the largest plan tonight, this map is just meant to give you an idea of the geographic scope of just how much OC Parks land is included with some type of conservation overlay. Just looking at the NCCP HCP, over 22,500 acres of parklands are included in this plan. This equates to about 40% of all OC Parks managed lands. This map now is focusing in just on the NCCP HCP lands and the OC Parks lands. As you can see on the map, the plan is divided geographically. So the top cluster of lands is the central subregion, and the bottom cluster is the coastal subregion. Starting with the central subregion, the OC Parks facilities included in the plan are Whiting Ranch Wilderness Park, parts of Irvine Ranch Open Space, Irvine Regional Park, Peters Canyon Regional Park, Santiago Oaks Regional Park, and a satellite location that's managed by the Oaks, the El Medina Open Space. Now moving over to the coastal subregion, our included parks are Aliso and Wood Canyons Wilderness Park, Laguna Coast Wilderness Park, Upper Newport Bay Nature Preserve, and Talbot Regional Park. That's a lot of OC Parks facilities. So how does this plan affect management and operations of these facilities? In the simplest of terms, the plan puts constraints over how these lands can be used. Any land use or activity must be compatible with the conservation goals of the plan. The plan also requires that we coordinate, track, and report these activities, and we account for any habitat impacts or take on these lands. Give you a moment to digest that while I get this spot here. So So thinking about what the plan extends to, compliance extends to anything that has the potential to impact habitat, whether positively or negatively. So that's everything from capital improvement projects, major encroachments, fuels management, large park special events and park closures, third-party permits and leases, habitat restoration, invasive weed control. I could keep going, but notably, it also includes almost all things related to trails. So whether that is new trails, major rerouting, or major maintenance of existing trails, or how we manage unauthorized trails. To maintain compliance, OC Parks Natural Resources and Trails team works really closely with the park staffs at all of these facilities to provide that on-the-ground guidance and coordination, and also collect the information that we need to do that coordination, tracking, and reporting function. We work closely with the wildlife agencies and consult regularly with the Natural Communities Coalition when questions about the plan come up or on that coordination aspect. And any third party or even internal large scale plans or permits for these lands are also looked at with an eye towards if there might be any NCCP, HCP issues. Earlier I mentioned that the county received almost 400 acres of habitat take for impacts. The majority of this take went to Public Works and OC Waste and Recycling. So OC Parks presently has about 30 acres of take remaining for the life of the permit, which goes till 2071. So as such, we work hard to avoid, minimize, and where we can, offset any of our habitat impacts. Avoiding impacts might look like siting a small restroom into the footprint of an already existing DG parking lot, so we're not impacting any vegetation or wildlife. Minimizing the impacts might look like doing a major trail reroute and trying to reroute the new areas for sustainability in some of the most degraded habitat types, so we're not impacting as high of a quality habitat. And then offsetting habitat impacts happens on a case-by-case basis. And that's a good example is working with the wildlife agencies when we're doing a major reroute, that all of the decommissioned sections, we're doing habitat restoration there in order to offset the impacts we have from the new trail segments. So doing this habitat impact avoidance, minimization, and offsetting, it is marries beautifully with our OC Parks mission and stewardship values already. And it also allows us to preserve that habitat take for larger items that we might not be able to offset. And those are things that are normally captured in the master plans for these various parks. Examples might be a new or expanded parking lot for a given park, maybe a new trail connection, or even a new nature center for a park that doesn't have one. And given the life of the permit that we have until 2071, it may be for something we haven't even thought of yet. So in conclusion, the takeaways, the NCCP-HCP is a 75-year permit with wildlife agencies that is intended to protect and enhance conservation values. It overlays about 40% of all OC Parks managed acres, and the plan allows only compatible permitted uses in these parks. Parks is required to coordinate, track, and report on activities in these lands and account for any habitat impacts with our take credits. We work regularly with the wildlife agencies and with the Natural Communities Coalition, the nonprofit that administers this plan. And then the final takeaway that I'd like to share is that we hit on the three major conservation plans and easements, focusing on the largest one. There's also several much smaller plans and easements throughout the park system. They all differ one from another as far as what administration looks like, what specific constraints and obligations they might have. But in common, they are all meant to protect and help recover these lands and sustain them in perpetuity. So So that concludes our presentation, and thank you so much for your time. And I'd like to open it up if you have any questions.
Questions?
Can we learn a little bit more about the other conservation plans that you just outlined? Quickly, I mean, I know that's not the focus of this presentation, but you had a slide that at least indicated some of them. Would you mind going back to that? Thank you. Yeah, so the Southern HCP, I'm assuming that's a federal permit?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Southern HCP includes Caspers Wilderness Park, Riley Wilderness Park, and O'Neill Regional Park.
Okay.
So that's a really sizable one. And the reason the term easement keeps being used is because we have 11,500 acres that are included in Nature Conservancy easements. That are also covering a significant portion, and a lot of that is the Irvine Ranch open space.
I see. Okay. And then I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses. The very last one.
No worries.
About OCPF conservation.
That's the Orange County. I don't have my.
Parks Foundation.
Parks
Foundation.
Thank you, Parks Foundation. I couldn't quite
say
that. So yes, they hold some easements as well. And again, this is not inclusive. There's a scattering throughout all our system of smaller scale different plants and easements.
These are just the largest ones.
Yeah, these are the big guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, first off, thank you for the presentation. I guess a question that I had was, what are the current steps that the commission's taking in expanding the number of acres that we consider in that conservation zone, and what does that process look like in terms of if we did want to add additional acres into that, incorporate it into the permit? Since, as you mentioned, we could do things with it that we haven't even thought of, and so I guess what does that process actually look like if we did want to add additional acreage?
Yeah, the plan doesn't preclude acquisition or adding additional acres into the NCCP HCP. It typically hasn't been done because the actual agreement, it was basically for these things will be received, that sort of agreement. But like you're being forward thinking, it doesn't mean that it couldn't be relooked at and additional things negotiated as part of the agreement, or even potentially questions come up about it sunsetting in 2071. Considering what the needs might be at that time and potentially relooking at what the even longer term might be.
Right on, yeah. That answers my question. Thank you.
Can I keep going?
You want to ask another question?
I do. Just so the floodgates are opening.
Please do.
I want to build on what Ray is saying, and I don't know if you guys are prepared to answer this tonight, but you know, if Orange County Parks were to acquire additional open space, then the decision would need to be made if that land would be enrolled in the NCC. That would be a question. It wouldn't be automatic.
That is correct. And it depends on how we get the land.
Okay.
And so most of the time when we're receiving land, there's usually a requirement.
Right.
It's not usually, here's a beautiful piece of land, do whatever you want with it.
Right. $1 million endowment, wouldn't that be nice?
Multi-million-dollar endowments. If we're gonna dream, let's just dream big. So usually there's restrictions. So the land that we receive that we're talking about mostly about, like Irvine Ranch open space, this was a requirement. And so this was donated, and we're appreciative of this, but there were requirements that we had to enroll this.
Right.
I think the biggest challenge that we have in any urbanized area is that there's not a lot of free space.
Right.
And so most of the space throughout Orange County is already claimed, meaning it's owned by somebody. And so it's tough to just add space, but we just want to,
right,
when it makes sense. And so we do look at it though, because we have had offers of some space that doesn't make sense for us. And usually it's a slope, drainage issues, things like that, where someone might want to give it to us. And then we look at that and say, how does this fit in with what we already have? And does it make sense for us to take it on? Because it's not us taking, even if somebody offers us land that's for free, there's a cost still to it, is that we still have to take care of it, we still have to manage it. Whether it's enrolled or not, we still feel like we have that obligation, so we want to be able to do that. But most of the time when we're given land, the obligation comes with it.
Thank you.
That's a great question. These are all good questions.
We are not a repository for unwanted land.
Correct.
Yes.
I agree, 100%.
Edison, public utilities. Mm-hmm. Southern California Edison, San Diego Gas and Electric, so on and so forth. Many of them have easements throughout our parkland. And they can, for all intents and purposes, run willy-nilly over our trails, roads, in the backcountry, so on and so forth. What are their requirements? What are their obligations for adhering to the limitations imposed by these relationships?
That's a great question. I'm actually going to defer to Jim or Darren, since they are more familiar with the other agreements between permittees and the agencies. I'm more familiar with the county's agreements.
So one thing is...
Can you come up here, Jim? Sorry. Thank you.
Hi. Is this thing on?
Speak up.
Jim Soledich with the Natural Communities Coalition. Going back to when you and I were just kids.
Had hair.
There was an agreement between the Irvine Company and Southern California Edison to create the easement. So they were pretty much locked in with that original easement. And then by being a signatory to the NCCP-HCP that Jennifer described so well, they're committed to the letters in that document. Everything in that document is...
The letter and the intent.
And the intent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. I think what we're going to do, this is a receive and file, or file and receive. We'll make sure that this is all made part of the record.
So, do you have another question?
Oh, yeah, I did have another question. I guess a follow-up to the first question that I had. The reason I asked is because not looking into really large acreage, I know that in District 2, there's a lot of communities that feature community gardens and that have natural seeds, and so I'm curious if that would be something that the county would be, like, something that they would want to look into, being that those specific parks or those specific gardens that are managed and facilitated by community members and community organizations like the Natural Communities Coalitions. I'm just curious to know if that process would be able to, like, be done if we wanted to do something like that, and what that would look like.
So typically what's looked at, it's the wildlife agencies that are making the ultimate decision. And one of the things that I know goes to your earlier question, Holly, and what you were saying, Kim, is what they're considering is if it makes a given reserve or all of these lands whole, so to speak. So they're typically looking for if it's high quality habitat value, what wildlife it's supporting, and what its adjacency is to existing open space. So, I mean, it's a question of if they would consider something that is more kind of fragmented individual gardens
yes.
in a very urban landscape or not. Typically what they're looking for are larger properties of land with some sort of native habitat on there that is going to offer support for target native species.
Can you go back to that first slide? Actually, this slide's perfect. So see on the top, there's the Coastal California Gnatcatchers?
Yeah.
So they're looking for things like this that are potentially threatened to be able to help them thrive. So the wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, they look to see what are the different species that we need to preserve in this area. And so that happens to be one of them. Super cute. I wish they had a different name though, because I feel like I think there would be more empathy for the bird if there was a better name than gnatcatcher. But Coastal California, that part I still like, but maybe it was like called the beautiful, I don't know, just cute bird. But anyhow, this bird is one of the reasons why we have this, is to be able to protect this bird. So when you're talking about the urban space of the community garden isn't usually the natural habitat, it's usually more of sustainability and looking at vegetables and beautiful things, and I love community gardens. But it's not really something that would be part of the NCCP-HCP.
If the community garden specifically was aimed at the preservation of a specific animal that is in threat of extinction, would it then be considered something that fits the requirements?
Possibly, but again, it would be up to our friends in wildlife,
yeah,
who would have to make that determination. It would be harder though.
Right.
It's a harder sell.
It's a small, right? They want large acreage. Mm-hmm. Right. Of course. I just wanted to ask. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No further questions?
No, thank you very much. You did a very good job. Moving on, the next item is an appointment of a new member of the trail subcommittee. We need an alternate appointment. We lost a member, he was replaced by Ray. and now we need another.
Don't we take it?
Yeah, take it. I have some thoughts on it, but go ahead and take it.
Okay, so our trail subcommittee is a subcommittee of the Ozzy Parks Commission, and at our last commission meeting, this commission appointed our former commissioner. So therefore we need to have a new replacement as the alternate chair. Chair Schauber of the OC Parks Commission is also the chair of the trail subcommittee. And so with the replacement of our of that position of the alternate chair, we do need to again name an alternate person for the trail subcommittee.
Would anybody like the job?
My schedule's really tight. Yeah. You know, couldn't add another being responsible to attend. Would be fair.
When are the meetings?
They're quarterly, four times per year. And they are on Thursday evenings usually. Depends though, because we sometimes have to move them because of scheduling.
I have at 6 p.m. if you'd like them. For the remainder, let me check the schedule. And how long do those meetings usually run?
Oh, that's a better question. It depends. It could be an hour. It could be 3 hours.
Usually, hour and a half.
I would say usually shorter time, but
once in a while.
We can't guarantee that. It depends on the topic.
I would be willing to consider.
Can I nominate Commissioner Jones? So go ahead and nominate Commissioner
Jones. I was waiting for you to step up.
Did you guys work this out in advance?
We did in the parking lot before we
did. I like this. It seems that way.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I might. Oh, I nominate you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You can vote for yourself.
Aye.
I believe
that we have a new
perfect
alternate chair.
Thank you very much.
And awesome. Jennifer, you're the staff person in charge of that, so you can tell me. Awesome.
So Brian is the executive officer for the Trails Subcommittee, and then Jennifer is the fabulous team member who will work with you. So it's a combined effort.
Tell me where I need to be and when.
You and me both. So I'll take this. If we're ready to move on to the next item here, I can basically kick this off. So I want to let everybody introduce myself and my new role. So Brian Furno, formerly and actually continue to serve as our entitlement division manager, but with the departure of Natalia Gierman, I'm also serving as the interim planning and design division manager. So with that will come the role of the executive officer for the trail subcommittee. So we have Jennifer Nagley here, who you've already met on the previous presentation, who will provide the update for this past quarterly meeting. But as I was not in attendance at that previous one, but I will be going forward. So with that, I will actually hand it over to Jennifer to give the update.
Thanks, Brian. So the quarter one meeting of the trail subcommittee was held on March 27th and had four discussion calendar items on the agenda, some of which you've already been briefed on a little bit tonight. The first item was that park staff provided an update on the new subcommittee chairperson, Commissioner Schauber, and introduced two new appointees, members David Browning and Michael Scheck.
who the commissioners appointed at the March 2nd meeting. So this item was received and filed. For the second item, the subcommittee reviewed and approved a meeting schedule for the remainder of 2023. Item three, the subcommittee discussed and provided feedback for OC Parks on recommended locations to position volunteer trail ambassadors. The trail ambassadors are the newest volunteer position with Parks, and they received special training and are meant to be stationed at locations within the parks to provide information to the public, such as trail etiquette, safety, and wayfinding. After discussing, the subcommittee recommended 10 locations across 5 different parks for the initial deployment of trail ambassadors. The final item, park staff provided a presentation on East Ridge View Trail, which was a major realignment project and had related habitat restoration in Peters Canyon Regional Park. And this item was received and filed. So that concludes the summary of the quarter one meeting. Quarter two meeting is scheduled for next Thursday, May 11th. And I'll turn it back over to
So with that, the recommended action here is to receive and file the updates on the first quarter of the Parks Trail Subcommittee.
In that case, we've done our responsibility. Receive and file. Okay.
Are there any questions on that? Okay.
Nope. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Now we're going to turn it over to you. To interim director Passack for an update of the park director's report.
Thank you, Commissioner Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some exciting things going on. We are in the process of recruiting park rangers right now, and at this point we have 8 candidates have passed the medical and the psych review after a thorough background check. They are anticipated to start in mid-May, and then we are processing 9 more conditional job offers for a total of 17 if everything goes well and they actually pass the medical and the psych. That is harder than you might think. We have a really good recruitment right now. This job opening was posted in late August, and this is probably the fastest turnaround we've had for the park ranger recruitment. For those of you that don't know, our park rangers are peace officers. So basically, they have to go through the same rigorous background check as a police officer on the streets. So it's very, very rigorous.
Normally?
Yes.
As in historically?
Yes.
What percentage of the incoming recruits make it?
Less than 1%. From those that apply to the ones who actually get hired.
Yep.
So we have a lot of people who are interested in the job. And then we do have quite a few that start to back out once they find out there will be a background check. That, you know, you have to be clean and have a good background and actually want to do this for the right reasons. And I've read the background reports for all of these rangers, and they have a great background, so I'm excited to see the new rangers. We need them, so that's great.
I recently, this past fall, went through a Community Policing Academy, put on by the City of Garden Grove. But on the order of recruitment, or the issue of recruitment, we had people from Westminster, PD, and Anaheim, and Huntington Beach come and talk to us about the problems they were having. Mm-hmm. Hiring cops is tough. And though these people are not cops, okay, we treat them like they are. And it is arduous training, and not everybody makes it.
Well said. They are peace officers, so.
Yeah, no, I know. I
so
got it.
Yeah, it is rigorous. We've had quite a few retirements, and we love to see people be able to retire, but that means then we have to fill their positions. Some staff recognition. So, I really wanted to point out something that I think is what we would say going above and beyond in the line of duty. And so we had Persian New Year at Mason Regional Park. There was a cardiac event. So this means that a park visitor was basically having what most people would just call a heart attack, but cardiac event. when park staff arrived at the scene, there was no pulse and the individual was not breathing. So our park ranger two, Megan Machette, who was in our last class of Park Academy, supervising park ranger one, Kevin Estrada, and supervising park ranger two, Derek Ankerstart, performed CPR, applied the AED, provided rescue breaths while waiting for aid and from OCFA. By the time OCFA arrived, the man's pulse had returned. And the OCFA transported the man to the hospital and he survived. So these are the stories I want to be able to share with
you. We used an AED?
We did.
Awesome.
It's amazing. And so, you know, our park rangers, I think a lot of people think that our park rangers just go out into the parks and just get to go on hikes. There's so much more that they do. And so I just wanted to highlight this pretty extraordinary thing. It gives me goosebumps when I just think about it.
I'm certified.
At first aid and AED?
Yeah. Anybody else? Do it. Yeah.
Yep.
Because you might find yourself in a situation just like that, and the guy sitting next to you might just keel over.
Yep. Well said.
Okay.
This next one is not life-saving, but I still think it's pretty great. So we have received the Governor's Historic Preservation Award for the Old Orange County Courthouse in District 2 for the renovations that we made. I'm just going to pass this around so you can see it.
I got married here.
My parents took their marriage photos there.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so beautiful. There's only a few people that have been married there. I mean, a few people each, like, minute.
Right.
we have quite a few people. I think there's always certain dates that tend to be the most popular. Every year, Valentine's Day, that makes sense. But when the dates are really fun, like 10-10-10, October 10, 2010, that was a big date. Most recently, I think it was 2-23-23, and then 3-23-23. So, like, you know,
The
fun dates, those are always fun.
Very cool.
But anyhow, there was a lot of work and effort that went into preserving this historic treasure and a lot of money, and so you sure can. If you want, afterwards, we can take a picture of you with it.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. Thank you.
And so we did send staff up to get this award in person, but I just wanted to share it.
Very good.
And we're continuing to preserve the courthouse, and I love our courthouse. It's fantastic. Also, we have the Parks with Purpose program and graduation. So this was a very neat program with it's a 10-unit curriculum that we created in-house to teach students the importance of parks in our community. It was funded by a grant by the OC Parks Foundation, and it demonstrated that parks are essential for understanding the past, enjoying the present, and preserving the future. The Boys and Girls Club, they participated in the program. Manzanita, Peter Marshall, and Palm Lane clubhouses for a total of 60 students in the pilot. The classes began in December, and the graduation ceremony was just held last month.
You said it was a 10-unit curriculum?
It was 10 class unit. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really neat. It was fourth grade curriculum, and the idea behind it was that to make sure that it was in line with what the fourth graders were supposed to be learning in school, so that way it would be more well-received by the teachers to want
California
to do this.
California history.
California history.
And this was a one-time grant from
this was a one-time grant, but this now grant has made it so that we've created a bunch of videos and the curriculum so that this could be then be duplicated.
Okay.
Right. Ray, have you been over and walked through the old courthouse?
I have had the lucky opportunity to walk over the courthouse.
It's
you should.
Oh, well. Put it on my list.
And your list is getting longer, I'm sure.
I have these meetings again.
So some upcoming events. There's a few things that are in the packet today, but also just wanted to highlight a few things. This Saturday is Rancho Days Fiesta at Heritage Hill Historical Park. Have you all been to Heritage Hill Historical Park yet? Well, this is a great opportunity to go. It's in the city of Lake Forest. It is a fantastic facility. I actually worked for the city of Lake Forest back in the 1900s. I should have said that. It was back in the 1990s. And I actually worked this event.
Wow. How fun.
I was a little bit younger then. Just a little bit. But it takes place from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and has a variety of activities, exhibitors. Like, it's just really, it's just fun. So just go. And then what's really fun is we have our summer concerts in Sunset Cinema coming up. And you should have received the information on the lineup for that. That is starting in June, and we have a really, really good lineup of concerts and movies, and you should just go to all of them, right, Bert?
I've been to a few.
I know you have. I did want to point out one cancellation that is in your agenda, the full moon hike in Santiago Oaks that's supposed to be taking place tomorrow night. We did have to cancel that because of weather. I always hate the weather when it does that to us. We usually try to order weather, usually when we have rain, we want it at night, when we're all sleeping, and it's not supposed to cancel our events, but in this case, we did not plan that well.
I want you to know that I had my entire roof replaced last week.
Oh, that was good.
I looked forward and I said, it's gonna rain.
Wait, did you finish it?
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, good.
Yesterday, day before yesterday.
Oh my goodness, thank goodness. I'm glad that you finished it. that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have on any of these items or anything else.
Any questions?
I do. Okay, so for these are great events. First, thank you for giving us a report on them. In terms of communication to like our park systems at city levels, how are these events communicated with them so that they can share with the general population within their respective systems is kind of my question.
So are you talking about the people that live in the cities or
just like sharing the information, like email, just a quick email, like, hey, Santa Barbara Grove Parks, we're posting these events.
So what we do is we have actually a very robust social media.
Okay.
And so we have, how many followers do you know?
Thousands, I don't know exactly.
Thousands.
I follow them, yeah.
More than that.
I follow them too.
More than that.
I want to say 60,000, and I feel like I'm making this number up, though, so don't.
Make it up.
No worries.
Make it up.
We have 64,102. we have a lot of social media followers, and what we found is that a lot of the community groups, they will then share that out as well on their community pages of, hey, this Saturday you should go to this or whatever. The other thing is that I do talk to the city parks directors, and a lot of times I'll share information with them when it pertains to their area. Just to let them know, we always make sure that if we're doing something that's large and it might impact them as well, we always make sure we let the city know as well. So like in Fountain Valley, when we have a large event at Milesburg Park, we'll coordinate with the city officials. So that's another way that we let them know, more for the impact of it, but also just, hey, you should come.
Right, awesome.
Yeah, great question. And then we also always have all this information on our website.
Right.
And then we also have updates if they set up for our emails.
That's good, okay. All right, I'll make sure.
There's a lot of ways. If people want to know, we will let them know.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. It's an opportunity now for the members of the commission to make comments on things that are germane to our mission, okay? But first, I want Ray to please tell us a little bit about yourself. You're our newest Parks Commission.
Right on. Yeah, thank you.
By the way, how old are you?
I'm 20.
20?
Yeah.
I got appointed in 06. Okay? And I served until 18, then I came back in 20, and I've been on for another 3 years. I've been on most of your life. Yes, and it gets cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Okay.
It was awesome. That's exciting. Yeah, no, so thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I want to thank the commission, first off, for having this great discussion that we did have for the items presented. A little bit about me. I'm an undergrad, currently still attending UC Santa Cruz. I major in political science and I focus in Chicano studies. Formerly was commissioner for the city of Santa Ana, where I was the chairperson for the Youth Commission and helped develop our Parks Master Plan at the city level to revive our park system with the American Rescue Plan Act dollars that we got in the one-time sum. So with those funds, we were able to do all that fun stuff for the folks in Santa Ana. And now I'm here at the Orange County Parks Commission, excited to be here with y'all, and excited to look forward to really enhancing our mission and going into see what ways we can expand on the number of acreage that we do have currently. I guess final comments is thank you for the presenters, those who presented today, amazing staff report, answered a lot of great questions that I had for today. I guess follow-up questions, you'll hear from me, you'll get my emails, which so far y'all have already. And yeah, thank you for having me, and then I'll go ahead and pass it on to the next commissioners who's queued to speak.
Awesome. Okay. Any comments? No?
No, it was great. It was really helpful information we got tonight. So thank you and welcome, Ryan. Happy to be seated with you.
I don't have anything.
Don't have anything.
When I was 20 years old, I certainly wasn't doing anything of value. I appreciate your dedication and the fact you've already been a commissioner up in Santa Ana. That shows a lot to us, and you ask good questions, and you're very, very well to do at your young age. So we appreciate you being part of our county. It does. We need to have good perspective from all age groups, and it's appreciated.
Thank you.
I do have one question, and again, I threw something off order from earlier in the meeting. I may try to do it here at the end, but does this commission ever adjourn in memory of any particular person? Has that ever happened? And is that possible?
Because I'm going to do that.
Oh, you are.
I am going to do that. I haven't spoken yet, but yes. And I think we're probably talking about the same person.
Perhaps we are. And I didn't plan ahead, and forgive me if it's not the same person, and I should have talking points.
I have a feeling it is the same person.
Save your comments because I'm going to give you a chance to addend what I say. Gene Watt passed away the other day. 96 years old. She was probably the most significant environmental activist in this county for the past 40 years plus. She was instrumental in forming the Friends of Harbors, Beaches, and Parks, along with Teresa Sears. I knew Jane, for a long time. I knew her when she was a member of the city council in Newport Beach, and her guidance will be missed.
I think that's perfect. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for attending.
And with that, we're adjourned.
Who wants to do these?
You can go.